Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome in another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew recording live. Wall-to-wall New Orleans Saints football talk from our studios at the Meat House with me. I only have Dell Mims, but do you need any more? Dell, how are you doing, my friend?
What's up, Dave, man? I am excited, man.
I'm glad. But just to have football back?
Yes, man. I'm glad to see my team. Got to see more games and everything, man. It's been fun, bro. It's been a fun weekend. But listen, I had some problems yesterday trying to watch the game, though.
I heard through the text messages. Yeah,
stupid Comcast decided to have an outage right before the Saints kick off, you know, so... I had to go watch the game, the first half, in my car at the library so I could use the internet there.
It was I saw the pictures and I was laughing because that's not the first time in this age now with internet. And I'm like, you know what? I don't do the DirecTV, which that's a whole nother thing. I keep reading this on Saints Report. They have this big old thread about DirecTV and who the next company is going to be, whether it's Apple to take over. And I read it and I start seeing all these people say these things. I had DirecTV when the Saints, I remember spending $800 on the first package. And I said, man, I used to call up the sports bars. And this was back when I lived in LA. I call up the sports bars and I would hope the Saints were playing a good team, because if you called up and said, hey, is the Saints game going to be on? Right. They'd be like, you just hear laughing on the other end of the line back in the day, right? If the Saints were playing the Giants, I'd say, hey, man, I got like 20 guys. We all want to watch the Giants game. Are you going to have a TV on? So it didn't work too well. You get there and they look around and they change it at halftime or whatever. So DirecTV saved my life. So I don't have nothing bad to say about them. But as time goes forward, I think it's, you know, technology. Problem is that damn internet goes down. And boy, it is stressful, man.
It's almost like electricity, bro. Like, you need that internet, bro.
Yes.
It's serious, man. So.
All right. So Houston, 17-13 over the Saints, irrelevant. And we were talking about this early. I'm way too old to worry about, you know, training camp reports and preseason games. But there's some individual things, Dale, that obviously we can address. Individual battles that we could look at and just, you know, kind of talk about whether or not there's something that matters. Is somebody getting better or whatever? Mm-hmm. So I think you had a whole list of things. Why don't you start with the one that you want to talk the most about?
Well, let's start off with our poll question that we put on our Twitter, you know, at BS and Beer Media. We put the poll question out last night after the game. How are you feeling about the Saints after the game? And 66% of you guys said you feel okay. 31% feel pretty good about it, and 3% are worried the sky is falling. That's where they are with this, okay?
ouch. Okay, so I'm going to maybe go back into a little bit more depth about my point. Okay. Man, you've been around long enough. I would love to get a demographic breakdown of the small percentage of people who are worried, and I would almost guarantee they're young people who just like don't get it yet. They just don't get the whole preseason thing. It means nothing outside of evaluating individuals in one-on-one battles. Matter of fact, one of the things is, I say this every year, coaches will put players in bad positions. You know how the saying, coaches put players in positions to be most effective or be the best version of themselves? In preseason, they'll say, well, this guy's a pretty good run stopper, but let's put him in on third down and see what he can do rushing the passer or whatever, just to see if maybe they've developed, maybe if some things have improved or whatever. So the point is, they actually put players in positions to fail just to see if they can, how they'll react to it.
Yeah, it's a good evaluation tactic. and especially with the quarterback, because you want to get them in a 2-minute kind of position where you have to come back, try to win the game or something. You just have to know what you have, or try to get an idea of what you have, and you know, make your best guess moving forward, and that's how you're going to put together your roster. But overall, I mean, how do you feel about the game itself?
Well, it seems like we do have some very good depth on defense, because everything I just said, the defense hung in there really well. Mm-hmm. And when you start looking at who was in the game towards the end of the game, it was a lot of names you didn't really know, you weren't very familiar with. And so I don't know how much that meant. But for three plus quarters, the Saints defense was very, very tough to in that game. Yeah. So offensively, whenever you had most of the starters in there, again, I'm not going to overreact to positive either. But Andy Dalton, you'd expect from a guy who's been a starter for a long time in this mm-hmm. league. We've heard a lot of good things in camp, and he obviously was sharp and understands the offense and moved the ball very efficiently. So I was encouraged by that.
Yeah, I said the game started off exactly how you wanted to script it if you were a Saints fan. You want the defense to go 3 and out. You want the offense to put together a sustained drive, put up some points, and that's exactly what they did. And of course, Andy Dalton had an early night because of that, and I'm all for that. I thought Dennis Allen still played a lot of the starters a little bit too long for me. Like, after I seen that, I had seen enough. Like, take them out.
Yes.
But let's get a little bit deeper. And what are your thoughts about Ian Book? Because he played most of the game.
I'm going to say this one comment before I get into that about Dennis Allen. Now, I've covered the Saints during several tenures, including Sean Payton. And you get a good idea, not just from him, but from other media guys who are around more and longer, how they like to handle certain things that you may not necessarily hear about them talking about. Apparently, you know, it's obvious for as long as Payton's been around that he likes to get those guys out of there quicker. And it could be the reason why the Saints traditionally start slow. Dennis Allen, from what I've gathered, is a guy that likes to see what his guys can do. So he's going to keep them in there a little bit longer, and it makes us a little nervous, makes us a little uncomfortable, because especially around the league prior to the Saints game, man, it was just this guy was getting hurt and that guy's getting hurt. And some pretty big names, some quarterbacks, first round draft picks, the kid in Atlanta, the receiver, the quarterback in for the Jets. So it makes you a little nervous, but hopefully I think that we'll see a little bit more rust knocked off when game one rolls around. Now, to Ian Book, my first initial reaction before rewatching the game this morning, I was not impressed. I had my questions about Ian Book when they drafted him. I always defer to the Saints. I always defer to professionals who watch every snap against every team. They have workouts. They sit with the guy. But he just doesn't have, no matter how you spin it, he doesn't have a lot of raw talent. So you're almost hoping for a Breeze-esque kind of guy that just, he just has it. He just makes it happen. And we haven't really seen a whole bunch of that. We haven't heard a lot of great things out of camp. Mm-hmm. And then he gets in that game. But having said that, after I rewatched the game, he had a lot more pressure on him than I initially thought. In the second half, he seemed to settle in a little bit, play better, connected on some passes, on some nice passes, not just little dump offs or screens or whatever. So, you know, hey, he gets another week, right?
Yeah. I think he definitely earned himself another week to play and show us he can do better. I did think he started slow, but he picked it up later, and I give him props that late in the game, it wasn't a disaster. You're playing with a bunch of backups and everything like that. Because so many times in preseason, late in games, man, it's a disaster when the quarterback comes in. Like, nobody can block. They're running all over the place. They're getting rid of the ball like crazy. It's just insane. Now, he has some bad throws over the middle, you know, which resulted in some turnovers and stuff like that, fumbles, that kind of thing. He has a lot to clean up, but I was encouraged with the fact that he was able to execute the offense late in the game with the backups. So,
hey there, this is Cooter Wilmine of the Boudreaux Parish Discount Gun Shop. Due to the high demand of high-quality tasers, we're overstocked, and now we're blowing out our inventory. There are other uses for tasers other than law enforcement, such as defending yourself from home invaders. But let's say you might not have concerns about home intruders. Well, you might have a mischievous dog that likes to get into trouble. Well, you can dial it back a touch and... Or what about an undisciplined teenager that likes to take out your truck in the middle of the night because they think you're sleeping? And what about that wife of yours that likes to sip on a little bit of grandpa's old cough medicine and then start getting a little mouthy with you? So head on down to Boudreaux Parish Gun Shop and pick up your taser today. Tell them Cooter sent you.
Did we get any clarity on these position battles that we have going? We had position battles at wide receiver, you know, who's going to show up after the top three, running back, offensive line, linebacker. That's been a big problem. And especially since Damon Pierce had like 9.8 yards per carry this game. Like, do we have a problem there?
No. I mean, listen, the best indicator of future is past.
Yes, yes.
And quite frankly, the Saints didn't lose enough for me to think that somehow or another. Now, I immediately didn't realize who he was at the beginning, but I had mocked Pierce to the Saints over and over and over in the third and fourth rounds. And I was like, honestly, I probably saw maybe four total quarters of him playing football my entire life. So, but I just decided in my mind that he's always around there. And I told you all the Saints needed another running back. And I thought we could get him around the third or the fourth. And when he started doing that and I realized who he was, it just took him. They said, oh, out of Florida. I was like, that's my dude. And all of a sudden I just had this like, oh, feeling in my gut. Yeah. I'm like, man, that would have been nice. So as far as that, I have zero concern. About the only thing I have a concern about on defense at this point, I guess two major concerns. One is health, right? We got to make sure Davenport stays healthy. Yeah. We got to make sure Turner stays healthy. And then, you know, obviously, I'm just saying the guys who have issues with health. We need to hope everybody stays healthy. And then at the safety position, we have talent, but we have guys who haven't played together. So we need those guys to kind of gel. Other than that, I have no concerns about defense. I have no concerns about stopping the run. Listen, nice running back, man. I'd love to Saints have picked him up, but I'm not concerned about our ability to play run defense.
Okay. So did you see anything out of Olave that you enjoyed? Because
well, it wasn't a whole bunch, right? Yeah, and you know, you're like, I want to see more, but then you say to yourself, well, again, he's a guy you're expecting a lot from. So back to your point, how much do we want to see him in there other than being excited? So, you know, maybe I have to say that I saw enough of him in practice and videos that I'm happy with what I see and encouraged by it. And, you know, listen, it's just the first game. It's a whole new world out there with only three games because it used to be you kind of ease them in the first game. The last game was nothing. But now with only three, I still don't know how teams really work it. Which one is the real get-ready game?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what Dennis Allen's going to end up doing for that. But what about running back? Do you think Washington solidified himself as the third running back?
So I don't know how much I want to admit, but I thought I had a theory, a working theory this morning. And when I was watching how much Washington, I was wondering if through the duration of practice, if the Saints felt that we're talking about number three right now, we're not talking about anything else, but number three guy, the guy who's going to be the third running back.
Exactly.
Hey man, if he's going to make the roster because of special teams, if he is in the same ballpark as the rest of those guys, as I like to call him Roy Jones Jr. and Smith and Azigbo. If he's in the same category as those guys, he's already gonna make the roster. At least one of those three guys that I mentioned, Jones, Azigbo, and Smith, are going to make it to the practice squad. Then we could open up a roster spot by having Washington work in there. As I never went back. I started doing some research on him. I never paid that much attention to him other than, hey, he's a pretty good special teams player. But The guy's very athletic. His RAS score was in the nines. Yeah. So, man, I was like, oh, wow, and start reading about him. And he's always had trouble hanging on to the ball. He's had trouble with injuries. So he's a guy that's a super athlete. He's a little too tall to be a running back because he doesn't get his pads low enough, and he fumbles a lot.
Yeah.
And what did he do? In very limited – he fumbled. And so I think if the Saints had that theory in mind, that went away. It dissolved real quick. It's like he's exactly what we thought he was, right? He's a guy that fumbles and you can't trust. Yeah. So who's the next guy? I heard people, our group, saying Roy Jones Jr.
Tony Jones.
I know. Yeah. When you look at it, Smith, man, I wasn't as high on him as everybody else. I'm like, man, he's a power runner, but he's not that big. But he actually had, aside from the fumble, the most productive day. He looked good, caught the ball pretty well, had like, I think, about 4.4 yards a carry. So to me, I wasn't impressed by Roy Jones Jr. I wasn't impressed. Igbo's another guy who's a great athlete, and I just don't see it on the field.
Yeah.
And so the guy that looked the sharpest to me was Smith.
Yeah, well, he had a fumble as well, right?
Yeah. And not only a fumble, but in the red zone. I'm pretty sure, though, it was Ian Book's fault. He made him fumble. He did. He made him fumble. Come on, let's keep it real.
There you go, Ian Book. I'll tell you.
But you get blamed for everything.
But, yeah, I mean, Tony Jones averaged close to 4 yards a carry. Igbo, like 3.2, and Washington, 2.1. But I've been hearing good things about Igbo in the passing game during practice.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They've been saying he's been a pretty dynamic running back. I didn't get to see any of that, but I also heard he made some tackles on special teams. I can't find those stats, but if Igbo is making tackles on special teams, I mean, how much does that boost him to become that third running back?
Well, here's the problem, man. I mean, okay, all we keep talking about is like, and now I won't be able to remember his name. The receiver that was a top five pick that we got from Chicago. Well, we didn't get him from Chicago, but Kevin White. They were talking about him, and the guy is huge, super fast, super athletic, can't catch the ball, but special teams. And so they keep going down the list of all these players that, this guy's going to make the team, especially. They can't all make the team because of special teams.
Exactly. Somebody got to play a real position.
Yeah, somebody got to go. Oh, Washington, then you got, you got the safety. Yeah. You got the linebacker. Everybody is – you cannot have a whole special teams group of guys. And when I say that, I'm talking about a whole team, you know what I'm saying, of guys who, he's going to make his special team. Some people have to be able to play offense and defense. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know is Igbo any better than Washington? But now, as you mentioned, maybe he's not quite as impressive. And from what we've seen as a running back, but there's more to being a running back than just running the ball. And I know that might sound pretty simplistic, but you got to be able to pass pro. You got to be able to catch the ball out of the backfield. And depending on the situation, again, you know, maybe we didn't get to see the best version of any of these guys. Maybe it was like, we'd like to see what this guy does in this situation because he doesn't do well in practice. Mm-hmm. Let's see if he can step up. He's been working on it. And then he doesn't. And we're all like, oh, he's a bum. But yet, if they put him in a position of strength, then we might see a better version of that player. And that's the facade of preseason because you don't know what the coaches are doing. And so Igbo, he's an athlete. He catches the ball. Who else on the Saints team, when you're talking about who else can do those things outside of Kamara, Ingram's a pretty good receiver. He's a pretty good all-around back. But if you got that third guy, man, what do you want him to be able to do for you? You know, is it more important that he's a power runner? Is he all-around back? Is he good in pass pro? You don't know what the Saints want out of that third spot.
Yeah, especially because, we're changing coaches. And, Sean Payton maybe had a soft spot for Dwayne Washington, but does Denzel have that same soft spot, Now
that is a great point. Yeah. And same goes with guys like Ian Book, who were drafted by, because Dennis Allen was his offensive coordinator on that team does not mean that he was like, oh man, we got Book. Yeah, I see what coach was trying to do. he might be like, man, thank God. Now I can get this bum out of here if that's how he feels about him. You know what I'm saying? And I said, Book, and I'm not calling him a bum. What I'm saying is whoever he may look at and say, that was a terrible draft choice. I don't know what he was thinking, even though the other guy may have had a solid plan for him. Yep. So there could be some changes at those special teams positions. Yep. Because, listen, maybe the best way to quantify it is not a whole team worth them, but there's maybe five, and it just depends on how good other guys are at special teams. But you might have, outside of the kicker, punter, and deep snapper, you might have five guys who will win a job who aren't quite as good as the guy above them at offense or defense, but they make it because of special teams. But I promise you're not going to have 20. Yeah, you know, exactly.
Okay.
Hose water. Whether you've been playing hard or working hard, when your thirst needs to be quenched, there's hose water. Found at any retailer where sports drinks are sold. Or connected to your faucet in the backyard if you don't want to pay $4 for it. Hose water. Get yours today.
Well, let's talk about the offensive line and what you saw on this last game and how bad Trevor Penning sucks and how much he's a bust of a first-round pick. That's right, Craig. I said it.
Boy, you are lucky Craig is not on this on this podcast. Okay, let's start off with how great Andres Pete played. He played really well, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's see, who else? McCoy played very well.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I was so distracted by other guys that I didn't really watch Ruiz, and I probably need to, but this morning I got up and I watched every snap of Trevor Penning. Mm-hmm. And initially, I was like sending you guys video after video after video. He is in my humble opinion, he's a dominant run blocking offensive tackle at this point. Okay. But I'm saying this, I love him. Okay. I love him. Yeah. I don't say zero about anything, but I have very little concern about him developing into a very good all-around offensive tackle. Yeah. But his pass pro was awful. Yes. I mean, it was awful. But I'm saying this with a smile. I'm not saying this with a, like, oh, my God, what did we do? He's athletic enough. He works hard enough. He's smart enough. He's strong enough. He has everything it takes. He just came from a school, and this is a problem. It's a pet peeve of mine when people start talking about Troutman, who came from Dayton, who's essentially a good high school. Mm-hmm. They talk who our group talking about. And I won't be able to remember his name, but Baker. He came from a tiny school. I mean, you expect him just to be a starter immediately. Yeah, it's great when they do, but the fact of the matter is, these guys, man, they have a huge learning curve. And Trevor Penn is no different. He was a man among boys. He had no need. It was completely unnecessary for him to develop his game.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, he's at another level, and that part of his game, he needs a lot of work on. And now, I already told you guys, I put money on it that I would expect him to be a better version of himself. Is it going to be great next week? But I can almost – I put money on it that next week he'll be improved because – you know, he's a little bit of that experience. He's a very competitive guy. He's not going to like it. And I daydream about him next year when they ask him about how far have you come along, Trevor? And he starts laughing at himself. Thinking back at this game where, I mean, there were two plays in a row. Got beat around the outside, and the next time he got beat on the inside. And it was just like he's going to laugh at himself and say, I had no idea what I was doing that first preseason game last year, you know. So it was bad. But – I'm not worried about it at all. No worries.
I'm thinking about this that drive where Penning gets beat, and then like Landon Young gets beat too, and that's another guy. You know, I have really high hopes for because of what we heard in training camp. Like he's coming along and he's progressing.
Yes,
and he just got whooped. A few plays.
This wasn't the last drive of the game, was it?
No,
it was. It was right before halftime.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right before halftime, I believe it was because Landon Young gave up a sack.
Yeah.
And Lovie Smith came running down the sideline, called a timeout, and they tried to get themselves in scoring position. Yeah. Yeah. I think the point is that Landon Young needed a lot of work too. Okay. But quite frankly, he didn't get whooped as much as Penning in his first, you know, like he's come a long way. So just look at how much he's progressed. And I get it. He's not a finished product yet, but you really not going to get a lot of finished products in the seventh round, or not seventh, but I think he's a fifth rounder. Oh, so, yeah. so you know, he's made progress. I expect Trevor Penning to be a lot further along when his turn comes next year. Mm-hmm. And I'm still hoping. I'm not giving up this year. I think he's going to make a lot of improvement in preseason. And then I think if you remember, Teron Armstead did not start immediately. He replaced, was it Brown?
Charlie Brown.
Yeah, at somewhere game 10, 11. And his first game, and it wasn't a full game because he came in and he got whooped. And I was like, because you know how it is. I'm an athletic guy. I want to see potential first, mm-hmm. which means athleticism and strength. And then after that, we could talk about what he's – Well, I knew what Armstead did in the combine and how athletic he was. And so when he came in the game, I was like, oh, he's going to be dominant because he's fast. And that was a long time ago. I was younger. And he got whooped. And I remember being like, oh, my God, there goes that hope. Then the next week he came in and played solid. And the rest is history. So let's not overreact to not suggesting you are, but our job. It's our job to analyze it, right?
That's my brand, bro. That's what I do. I overreact, okay?
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. I'm fine with it. Yes. Yeah, I understand where you're going with this.
That's where I am, okay?
Yes. Now, and Craig, everything's going to be wonderful.
Yeah,
everything.
Yes, exactly.
And I'm the guy in the middle, man.
All right. The Chase Hansen made a big play at linebacker. And I think this guy is going to be our starting linebacker because Warner, I believe he's going to go get some surgery. Okay, because we've seen this too many times with these groin injuries, and then eventually the player goes up to Philadelphia, get this surgery, and they're out 4 to 6 weeks because of this surgery. And this hadn't happened yet, but I just believe that's where we're going.
Well, if history, what did I say? The history is the best indicator of the future.
That's right.
Well, I'm just going to assume that was a past regime because do you remember? I'm sure you do. It was like five dudes, and I'm probably exaggerating.
It was an epidemic, bro.
Man. It's like, oh my God, I think I caught it too, coach. My stomach's hurting. You know, it was like an outbreak. Maybe it was like a monkey with a groin problem that snuck in Saints camp and gave everybody the groin injury.
I'm telling you.
And I mean, to me, groin injury back then, I'm like a groin injury. Okay. So you pull the muscle, you didn't stretch well enough. Like, be out a few weeks. Like, oh, I pulled my hamstring. Apparently you pull a groin, man, you down. Like it's invasive surgery. Uh-huh. You get a metal plate put in your abdomen or something. You know, I mean, it's the whole thing. You know, you're in traction,
Right, exactly. All of it.
So hopefully that was the old medical staff. Now it's like actually a pulled muscle, It's like, groin, just for this, take a week off and you'll be fine. Yeah. So hopefully.
Hey, let's see if this magic.
So back to you telling us, I'm sorry, I injected all this. To Chase Hansen's our new all-star starter.
Yes.
So let's hear more about that.
Yes, because, we need a starter on, across from DeMario Davis. And, Hansen came in, he got the interception. He looked pretty good running the ball, too. Like,
he did look athletic. I'll hand him that. Hand him that.
So I give him a lot of props for that, man. And that's what we want. Another linebacker that can run sideline to sideline, be able to cover some tight ends and stuff like that. So maybe he's got this ability, and we're going to be okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't put too much into that. I mean, Chase Hansen does that. Look, he has some athletic ability, but one of the things that it's an offset.
Yeah.
Okay. You get a guy that's that athletic, and he's a smaller guy, and he's always had a history of injury problems. So, and he wasn't on the roster, a week ago. And so I don't know if the Saints are as high on him as you are, but, you do have a keen eye for talent. So I'm not going to disregard your suggestion, but I don't know if I'd put any money on that. The Saints have, and again – they don't have the depth at linebacker that I wish they did, but they actually have the one kid. And I thought if I filibuster enough here, that his name would come to mind, but he's a veteran. He actually played well the last couple of years until last year. And I think that he has the potential to be a starting level linebacker. Now I'm not ready to start talking about moving somebody else into Werner's spot already, but I think that we do have three viable starting caliber linebackers. And with
Zach Bond? Is that the name
you No. I'm talking about a guy that we signed in the offseason. And I'm trying to type it up now.
Okay.
Let's see. Well, I can't talk and type at the same time. That'd be bad radio. but he was a solid linebacker, and I remember he was an up and coming name until this past like in 21. And so, you never know what happens because these guys are human. You could be doing really well, and the next thing you know, you're fighting with your wife and get a divorce, and all of a sudden your season goes to crap because you can't focus, and who knows what was going on with his life. But he was a good NFL linebacker, and I think that he could provide quality depth if whatever went on with him in 21 is behind him. So even with him, though, we're still a little thin.
Eric Wilson, I guess you're talking about, right?
Yes, that's the guy. That's the guy. So anyway, I don't know. It is a bit of a concern.
Okay.
Linebacker, as long as we stay healthy, we're good to go.
Yeah.
But we have some depth, but not a lot of depth. Mm-hmm. But I always say this, too, though, man. How many teams got to – if you lose an all-pro – player like DeMario Davis, what team be like, we got good depth. Right. We won't miss a beat. No, you're going to miss a guy like
Absolutely.
That. So,
from looking at the game yesterday, I think the cornerbacks were as advertised because we got a few turnovers, in the game, which is awesome. But a guy like Brian Allen, who we signed from the USFL, comes up with an interception. But they went right back at him and whipped his behind. But
well, even that interception, I hate poo-pooing on everybody's excitement. But I mean, I don't know if he was a well thrown ball, and that's the receiver had a step and a half on him.
Okay.
So now, having said that, the way it was thrown up, maybe he was looking back. He's kind of like a center fielder who was looking back at the ball. He wasn't running full speed. So who knows how the play would have continued to develop if he wasn't tracking the ball. Mm-hmm. But literally the receiver was a step and a half ahead of him. He intercepted the ball from behind. So it was underthrown, which kind of, it diminishes the play in my mind a little bit. And he's not a guy who's going to, unless there's an injury, he's not a guy who's going to make the roster. So I shouldn't spend a half an hour analyzing that one play but then again, yeah. And then right after that, he got burnt. Yeah. So, he didn't hold up very well, and he's going against other backup level players. So anyway, but hey, we didn't get to see, our second round pick. We didn't get to see, Honey Badger. They played well. The defense held up without a ton of starters and backups. So we didn't go into the game with our number two guys. We came out of the box with our number one guys on the bench, and then half of our number two guys sitting out either because, they were dinged up a little bit or just simply, I don't know. The Saints didn't want to play him.
Yeah, I saw Debo and Roby out there. Marcus May played a lot. PJ, CJ.
Your guy.
Oh, my guy, Justin Evans, he got an interception for sure.
Got an interception. Yeah. And you know what? I noticed a couple of plays where he had some nice tackles where I felt like he brought some lumber on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he can play down in the box. He looks to be like this kind of safety that you can interchange, Put him in the box, put him out deep. I mean, he seems to be making plays everywhere, man. So I really see him as our starter on day one. With May being out, like I'm still sticking with that prediction.
Oh God, why'd you have to remind me of that? I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. So he'll probably him PJ Williams, man.
Yeah, PJ.
I tell you what, PJ, I'm basically parroting things that I've heard from people, and I guess it's one of those things where I never thought a bunch of them because he's kind of like a backup guy, and he sticks around, and you just don't realize that listen, while he's not a A-level quality starter, he's very valuable to the team.
Man.
And so it'd be interesting to see which direction the Saints go because it just depends on how healthy your guy is.
PJ will rotate in. He intercepted Brady last year too, man. Like, we can't just discount him, He's a real player.
No.
So,
yeah.
Now, did you know yesterday Ryan Nielsen called the plays with defense?
I heard that this morning, and I wonder what that means. Why, you know, now during the season, Allen is going to call the plays, but I wonder if he's going to let one have it. I don't know that whole situation. I get it that like you want to keep everybody happy, you have a good coaching staff, but I don't know, man. It's like you just no. We don't have assistants. We have just six defensive coordinators. You know, we have a defensive line defensive coordinator. We got defensive back defensive coordinators. Yeah. You know, everybody's a coordinator. So
I think it's a good idea. I actually saw Sean McVay last night. Like this dude was doing commentary while he's coaching. Honestly, but like he's got his coaches, you know, taking over and like assistants to their coordinators were calling the plays. So he's really trying to develop his coaches. And maybe that's the approach Dennis Allen is taking, trying to develop his coaches, and so that way they can advance their careers.
And maybe they can take it a step further, and we have like an internet connection, and you can have the fans calling plays. So it's like, and whatever percentage is the highest, it looks like we're blitzing, coach.
Yeah. You know, that needs to happen.
I know it needs to happen,
man. You know,
yeah. You make it more interesting.
You make season ticket holders buy those dang on preseason games, man. Like, yo, give them some access.
I every year it's like I get so excited, and it's finally the first preseason game, and I swear it don't take a quarter and a half before I'm like, oh man, can the season start already? So, but I mean, it's a whole new era right now, man. Without Sean Payton, without Drew Brees, it's like this is it. This is a new era completely, and so it's exciting. But even that excitement's kind of wearing off, you know. I think I'm ready for some practices against Green Bay, and who else are we practicing against?
Well, next week sure is Green Bay coming up.
Yeah, I think there's somebody else. I can't remember off the top of my head. But I bring up these subjects that I don't know anything about, so it's hoping maybe you pick me up or something. But yeah, we got some practices, and I'll be interested in seeing the reports out of that. But it'll be the same thing, you know. It's like, oh, this guy did good, this guy did bad, and you know, it's just, man, we're not far away. What are we? The 14th, so we halfway through August. We got about 3 weeks left.
Yep, it's fantasy draft season, so everybody get your teams together.
Oh, that's right. Aren't we going to do something too?
We are. So this week we'll record an actual fantasy show, and we'll discuss our league that we're going to put together, and participation is mandatory. So there you go.
Mandatory. So everybody stand at attention.
That's right. So let's wrap this thing up with the player of the game. Do you have a player of the game, Dave? Because my player of the game is Chase Hansen. All right.
Chase, I mean, well, you know, I mean, he made the biggest play of the game per se. Yeah. You know what? If it wouldn't have been for the negative play, I'm still going to give it to him because I can't think of anybody. The only person I could think of that I spent a lot of time looking at and it just entertained me was Trevor Pennington because, man, I want to reiterate, he was doing stuff in a running game that was just next level. I mean, the guy is so nimble. That's why I'm not worried about the pass protection, because anybody can move that well and that quick and is that strong and that aggressive is going to figure it out. Yeah. But, man, he was like runs to the opposite side, man. He's getting over there and sealing guys off, man. It was great. So I watched it, and it was entertaining. The next guy that I saw that just really caught my eye was Smith, the running back. If he wouldn't have had that fumble, man, it would have. I would have said, man, this guy, and I still am. Obviously, I was just like, hey, because keep in mind, they're practice. They're not going to the ground. Right. So when a running back gets in there and they get that thud, then they loosen up a little bit and they're like, okay, let's run back to the huddle, or some do the thing where they run to the end zone. But man, in this, he was in a pile and he's trying to fight for another yard, and the ball's probably away from his body. And you know, I think it's just something that happens early in preseason. Yeah. So I'm gonna go with Smith.
It's a simple
looked good.
Fix. He just needed to put two hands on the ball when you're on the goal line and you're going through the pile. Like
yes.
For real, bro. Two hands on the ball.
Yeah. So that's my guy.
All right. Well, the worst player of the game, sponsored by Dave Loudass Truck. All right.
Oh.
That's right.
Oh man, you got to make a commercial. That's a good one. And sponsor today's worst player. So, and then you could have a little audio of me doing like,
I think that we really have some good time. The Saints are doing well.
Oh, commercial coming soon, baby. coming soon.
All right, all right.
So my worst player is going to be Trevor Penning because he sucks. He's a bust. There you go.
Oh my God. Okay, so should I just go ahead and say my worst player is Callaway? Not that he did anything wrong, just because I make Craig so mad, man. I just pile on now, right? I mean, I do have a theory, right? I have a theory about how he may not make the roster, and I think the theory is sound. Okay. Although Smith, Traquan dropped the touchdown, yes. And I'm listening to the visitor broadcast, and I thought it got knocked out.
Okay.
And it wasn't until this morning, and the guy's like, oh, look at the instincts on this defensive back as Traquan. It obviously, as soon as it hits his hands, he doesn't catch it.
Right.
And the defender never hit the ball. Mm-hmm. Traquan literally just dropped it. But the announcer's talking about the instincts of the defensive back who just got beat, you know, to be able to poke that ball out. And he kind of swung his arm and hit Traquan on the shoulder or something. But anyway, I keep messing with Craig and any opportunity I can to say that Callaway's terrible and won't make the team. He gets so mad, but let's see. Yeah. Who's the worst? I don't know, man. Trevor Penning was pretty bad.
You're probably going to give it to Book. You gave Book crap the entire game.
Yeah. I got to give it to Book just to stay in the genre, you know, just say everybody sucks and say everything's their fault. So, you know what? He cleaned up. I'm going to give him another week now. He earned another week, but he's got to start being more consistent. So there's a couple of candidates out there for, you know, worst truck driving player of the week.
Yes, so, indeed, man.
We'll let the fans decide.
Yep. All right. Well, hey, man, that's all I got, man. We will be back with more for sure. This week we got Beer Run coming up. Like I said, we're going to do a fantasy show. And of course, all my wrestling fans, we got another episode coming for you. You know,
yes, got the wrestling show. I actually listened to a little bit of that this morning accidentally. But anyway, well, I guess that's all the show we have for you. So for Craig Wright, Dale Mims, and the rest of the BS and Beer crew, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast, and we will talk to you next week. And don't forget, I guarantee you, Craig and Dale are going to have a little Beer Run coming up for you on Tuesday. So y'all don't miss it.
Remember to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at BS and Beer Media. Or if you're old and want to write a strongly written letter, email us bs@icloud.com.